years. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see you, Brother Neil. Back on your feet. Amen. It's just good to look out and see everyone that was able to make it here this morning. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer, go to the author of the scriptures before we read this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to be here. Lord, we ask God for you to come, Lord, and guide us through your word. Father, to be encouraging and uplifting to the people, Lord, give them strength, I pray. We ask, Lord, that you would, knowing every need, Lord, the people, that if there be anything, Lord, I'll be ready to go down any avenue, Lord, where you would direct me, just to be sensitive, Lord, to your spirit, Lord. We ask you to bless them now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to continue speaking on election. If you turn me your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. One of the things, I said something like this last Sunday, but when we look at election and predestination, we must also consider the character of God. Whatever we find in the Old Testament, well, then it must be the same in the New Testament when we're looking at election or anything, actually. He doesn't change his character. The Bible says, I'm the Lord, and I change not. In Malachi 3 and in Hebrews, he says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whenever we put scriptures and quotes and different things together, we must never change God's unchanging character. Doctrine, according to the word, will not alter God's character or nature. If it's according to the word. Now let's read Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage to waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now if you could turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Here Paul writes in verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So it's not based on free moral agency, his election. He bases it on the purpose, on the election by the foreknowledge of God. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. You may be seated. The door to the heart, Brother Branham says this, says, that's the reason when Paul spoke of it in Romans, he said, before either child was born, Esau and Jacob, both with good holy parents, God said, I hate Esau and love Jacob, that his election might stand true. How many ever read that? You can't believe in election? He knows just exactly what would happen, certainly. He's not willing, but his foreknowledge lets him know. He don't just say, I'm going to save this one and lose that one. He wants you all saved. But his foreknowledge knows who would. So therefore, he could predestinate according to the foreknowledge, and that's election. Now, election separated Noah's family. Election separated Abraham's family. And here we're reading where election separated Isaac's family. God doesn't elect according to family lines or bloodlines or within a certain wall, four walls of any certain church. God doesn't even elect within the four walls of a certain message. There are people out of every message that God has sent that will be elect. And there were people that sat under that message that believed it as far as they could, but were not elect. Don't count them out. Many times we want to judge people according to our revelation, according to what we see. But God's not going to judge somebody according to what your revelation is. God's going to judge everyone according to what he has revealed to that individual. That's what they'll be judged for. And God will make them answer for it. We don't have the ability to give somebody a revelation. We can share with them what has been revealed to us. And they might see it mentally and have what we call a mental conception of it. But if it's ever really been revealed to them, then the Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Many times we find what we find our young people, they've grown up under a message. They've grown up under the preaching. They've grown up under these things. And mom had revelation. Dad had a revelation. The pastor had a revelation. And they got a mental conception of it because they heard it. And they said, well, it makes perfect. It makes sense. And so they went on with that. And they mistook that for being a revelation when all it really was a mental conception of it. Then when they get a little older and the world begins to pull on them, then they'll trade that mental conception they have. They'll trade it off for something of the world. But if they ever, it's ever revealed to them and anchors in the soul by the power of the Holy Spirit, then death, hell, and the grave can't take it away from them. Now, as we said, election separated Abraham's family. Ishmael, he was seed of Abraham, but he was not the elect of God. Remember when God came to Abraham and spoke to him about sacrificing his son, he said, thy son Isaac, thine only son. God was speaking according to his election. Isaac was Abraham's seed and he was elect. They both had the same father, different mothers, but they both had the same father. Now, Isaac and Rebekah, both of them were elect. Both of them were, they loved God, they served God, they were elect. But God didn't run election down through that family based on Isaac and Rebekah being elect. See, the mixture of the gene pool did not bring forth only elected children. It brought forth an Esau and it brought forth a Jacob. And the thing about this scripture is God knew what each one of them boys would be and what they would do. He knew that that birthright would never mean anything to Esau. And he knew that Esau would actually walk right over top of everything his mom and dad even taught him. Remember, he went and married amongst people he wasn't supposed to marry amongst, and he did it in spite of his mom and dad. God knew what kind of a fella Esau would be. Now, God saw Jacob. He loved him. If God would have elected based on the family, then he would have had to accept Esau with all the evil things that he was. God reserves the right by foreknowledge to elect one out of this family, maybe two out of this family, maybe this family. They get mom, dad, and all the kids. But God's not confined to that. He's not obligated that once he chooses a Browning that he has to choose every Browning thereafter. Follow. God across family lines, color lines, racial lines, culture barriers, and elect those whom he saw before the foundation of the world would love him. Sometimes when we're talking about election, we think that it's only among the elect that God deals with. And that's not so. I believe a person could get saved in any church. All they got to do to be saved is accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But now, if you're talking about being birthed by the Word, rapturing faith, we're talking something different then. Brother Branham says this in proving his word. He's talking about Billy Graham. He says, "There's no man I know of in the field that has got a hold of God on the word justification like Billy Graham does. He can present it." He says again in Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, "Billy Graham, the noted evangelist, great work of God, the man is sent from God. He's got justification down so pat, he shakes the nations with it." Billy Graham had it down pat to be able to lead people to Christ or get them saved, as we would term it to be. So people under Billy Graham's message were getting saved. But see, that was as far as Brother Billy Graham believed. He believed as far as justification. And that's as far as he could bring them then. But that's all God required of him. Don't get mixed up with getting saved, somebody being saved, and somebody being birthed by the Word. Or someone receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's two different things. Brother Bram says this. I've read this quote actually before, but I just wanted to read it again today. He said, it's in What is the Holy Ghost? He said, "Upon this place we wish to approach the subject, which I think is the outstanding subject of today, of the what is the Holy Spirit? What is it? And now the reason I've taken a subject line like this, you cannot come and receive the Holy Ghost unless you know what it is. You cannot receive it if you... You cannot receive it if you don't know what it is unless you believe it's given to you and it's for you. And then you cannot know whether you got it or not unless you know what results it brings. So if you know what it is and who it's to and what action it brings when it comes, then you'll know what you've got when you get it. And that would just settle it." He says there again, "And you must be born again." Now, false teachers will bring false births. True prophets will bring the word, the birth of the word, Christ. False prophets will bring false birth, the birth of churches, the birth of creeds, the birth of denominations. And here you are, Pentecostal brethren, or sensations, and tell a man he's got the Holy Ghost because he speaks with tongues. I've seen devils speak with tongues. Pencils laying down write an unknown tongue. That don't mean a thing. See, it's got to be alive. By their fruits you shall know them. Said, "Brother Branham, do you believe in speaking in tongues?" He said, "Yes, sir, I believe in it." He said, "Do you believe in shouting?" "Yes, sir, to be a Christian I have to believe that." Well, I don't know. That might get some folks around the message that don't believe in shouting. Brother Branham said, "I'd have to believe in that to be a Christian." He said, I believe God's word, but if the life isn't there to back it up. In birth pains, he said, now remember, her messenger is promised in Malachi, the 4th chapter. He promised to do it, and the message is to bring back the word, bring the people back to the word. The birth is to be, she's to be delivered of a new birth of, from according to Malachi 4. Be delivered of a new birth according to Malachi 4. Back to the word, a word birth. How many people in here could say that they were saved before they come to the message? How many maybe was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before they came to the message? Now, when you came to the message, did you have to get resaved? No, you was already saved. Amen. You just moved along in the move of the Lord with the revelation of the Lord. You're just growing. But in order for you to get a new birth, according to Malachi 4, then you've got to be under a ministry that is preaching Malachi 4 and saying what he said. Amen. God can meet a person anywhere. He can meet him in the backyard. He can meet him in the bedroom. He can meet him in a denomination. He can meet him, like I said, in a church. God can meet him out. There's one testimony Brother Branham gave where God met a man out in a pig pen. God can meet a man anywhere. If we're not careful, we'll put salvation in the move of God rather than in the God of the move. Salvation's in God, not in the move. We can't put salvation within the walls of our church or churches that agree with us and say, well, no one can get saved out yonder. You can't tell God what to do. Amen. Brother Branham said this. He said, grace is sovereign. Grace doesn't have to ask anybody nothing. He said, grace does what it wants to. God don't have to ask our permission for what he's going to do. And if we'd realize, you know, somebody, you might run into somebody, maybe they don't believe the way you do, and they would give you a testimony of something that was happening in their life. If you're not careful, if you have the wrong attitude about it, well, you'll just look down on that like as if to say, well, I don't even need to sit here and hear that. But that's God moving. That's God working. Brother Branham told Billy Paul one time, said, don't never make fun of someone speaking in tongues and interpretation being given. One time he said, I believe it was Demas Shakarian's sister. I can't remember now. You remember, brother? They said she was about to die, and somebody gave a prophecy and spoke in tongues and said, no, she's not going to die, but Brother Branham said she's going to die. And Billy Paul asked him about that, and he said, Daddy, they said that she wasn't going to die. I said, and he told Billy Paul, he said, well, that's of the Lord. And he said, but you said that she's going to die. He said, then she's going to die. God can save, friends, look, God can save somebody off a bar stool. God isn't limited by where he could speak to somebody and speak to their heart and bring a conviction of what they're doing or bring a conviction on their life. If God brought a conviction on a drunk's life on a bar stool, I can tell you one of the first things he'd do is leave the bar. We'll see under the dispensation or the covenant, grace covenant, there's people in different categories, Brother Branham says. Now, there's the mystical body of Christ, the elect, but there's also those that on the eighth day is going to serve outside the city. And then we've got the 144,000. Then we got the foolish virgin. And let's don't forget the last one Brother Branham talked about. He said, those that were kind to the bride. Those that were good to the bride. He said, on that day, the bride will give them eternal life. Because they'll speak up for them. Yeah. So, that's all within God's. Well, you know, I mentioned this quote last Sunday, or mentioned something out of it, but I just want to read it here this morning. I printed it out so I could read it. It's in Total Separation from Unbelief, preaching 64. Brother Ram says, all these believers, as we go on for hours, all these were like a bunch of change out of your pocket in God's hands. You pull out a bunch of change. There's pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, dollars, all in coins now. That's what the world is in God's hands. There's some people that can just have a penny worth of it, and God can only use them in a penny way. That's all they can buy. Don't reject them. If they can't believe the real truth, don't turn them down. Don't kick them out and say they're not in it, because God uses pennies sometimes. He said, Lot was just a penny. Abraham was a silver dollar. So it had taken 100 lots to make an Abraham. And so it'll take 100 carnal believers will never stand in the presence of a genuine Christian that's separated from the carnal things of the world, living in Christ Jesus, where the word can flow through him. He can only have a penny's worth. That's all he's got. So you see people that say, oh, I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in these things. Just know it's a penny. But just let him alone. See, just a penny's worth. And so that's all he can buy. Don't stop him. Just let him alone. Remember, that's just all the further he can go. Well, I belong to this, and that's what we believe. It's just a penny. Go ahead, just a penny. Well, the Lord bless you, my brother. See, he is copper. He can never be silver. So just let it go ahead. God can use him, though. He's using it. I'd rather see him down there. Now listen to this statement. I'd rather see him down there in a church than to see a barroom standing on that corner. Wouldn't you? Sure. So let's let it alone. God can use it anyhow. Maybe not very much, but he can use what he can use as much as they'll let him use. So I wonder why God's really dealing with us on these things like this. Because friends, in order for people to get saved in the millennium, we're going to have the right attitude. We go in the attitude of when we get in the millennium, there ain't no more people can get saved. And no more people can come into the bride. I know there's some people around the message that don't agree with me on this, and they'd like to leave the quote alone where Brother Branham says that in the millennium, God will raise up the heathen that never heard it before. Brother Branham says that, and he quotes it from Psalms, and where it says, I give you the heathen. I'll raise up the heathen. Brother Branham says he'll raise up the heathen in the time of the millennium, those that had never had the opportunity to hear. Him being just has to give them opportunity. Well, I hope that don't stumble you too much. There's a lot of things we get to thinking we've got down pat, know how it's going to be, and then all of a sudden we hear something that just goes completely different than what we thought, and we think, well, my goodness, our first reaction is to kind of balk. I heard Brother Donnie say one time, he said, you people are staring at me like a mule at a new gate. In the message of supernatural preaching 56 in Owensboro, Kentucky, Brother Bram says, here not long ago, I was sitting in California in a meeting wearing a hairpiece on top of my head and wearing a pair of dark glasses just to listen to a brother's theology, because they'd recognize me if it wasn't. I sat with the people right next to me. They didn't even know me. Just sitting there, just see, look around, even hear them talk about me. And they didn't know it was me. It just sat there. And I happened to be sitting by a man with his collar turned around. There was a minister come to the platform, and the man's one of my converts to divine healing, but he'd preach a while, and then he'd go back, and a valet would change his clothes. When he'd get a little sweaty, he'd come back out again to the platform. And this great man sitting there shaking his head and looked over at me and said, does that act like a servant of Christ? And I said, I'm not the judge. And he said, well, I think his message is wonderful. I said, I think his message is wonderful. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, do you think a servant of Christ should just put on a whole lot like that and dress like that and act like that? And I said, well, you see, for my opinion, God has people in different categories to catch people that live in different categories. In the voice of the sign, Brother Branham says, God was bringing a nation out of a nation, just like he's doing now, going to bring a bride out of a church, leaving the remnant of the woman's seed. The elect will be brought out of the church. The church natural will stay here through the tribulation. That elected sometimes is called the chosen. He says here, in hear and recognize and act on the word, he says, and then we see that these two, carnal and spiritual people, that's the way it always happens. That's the way it is today and always has been that way. And there's no doubt but what I'm talking to both classes right now. And perhaps by the tape we'll talk to tens of thousands of them. And then identified Christ of all ages, he said, Lot was a type of the church natural down in Sodom, the organization. They got a messenger down there. There's a couple of messengers went down there, a modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. But remember, there was one to the church spiritual who was out, Abraham, the called out. Watch what kind of sign he give him. He never preached much of a gospel. He just told him what the promise was to be near. In the harvest time, he said, there's two churches in the world, church natural, church spiritual. They're all called Christians. So two classes he speaks of here. Two classes of believers. But they only believe as far as God would open their eyes to. Now, we realize that eventually in the tribulation time, those that are under this denominations, there'll be many of them, because of the denomination itself will accept the mark of the beast. The people in the denomination will follow and receive it as well. But there will be some of them that won't. They'll refuse to receive the mark of the beast and they'll die. They'll die to seal their testimony in their own blood. And you know, I'm very familiar with the organization called the Church of God. That's what my family came out of. And one of the things I've watched over the years, from time I was just a little boy on up and through, and now talking to my aunts and uncles who are, you know, most all of them in their 70s, and talking to them and seeing changes in them and so forth and so on, the changes that happened, like with them saying, well, it's all right to wear pants, or it's all right to cut your hair or trim your hair or whatever, or it's all right to, you know, do this or that and the other. All that stuff came down from headquarters. Headquarters accepted it first. That's where it happened first, was up in headquarters. And the Church of God's headquarters is in Cleveland, Tennessee. So it happens up on upper levels, and then slowly it gets filtered down through till it gets down to the other people. And then they go to a big convention, and here they are sitting there believing one way. They get there in a big convention, and the heads of their denomination get up there, and they got bobbed off hair or this and the other, and they look at it and say, well, you know, it's all right. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to be standing in the shoes of a deceiver. I sure wouldn't. Because I believe they're really going to answer to God. Brother Graham says this in 70 Weeks of Daniel. Said, remember, in this great time of persecution, there's millions of Gentiles will die in that. That rejected bride, the remnant of the woman's seed, sleeping virgin. She goes right through that. It's just as clear as this 70 of weeks, just as clear. They'll go through it. So if you haven't got the Holy Spirit, you better get it as quick as you can. We're at the end time. Ishmael and Isaac, Brother Branham, here, thou shalt, seed shall not be heir with the shuck. Brother Branham deals with this, and he said, Ishmael could not be heir with Isaac. Because one was slightly doubted, just slightly doubted. It was a child. It was still the seed of Abraham, but not God's perfect way for it. Ishmael, now, I could spend much time here, but I'm hoping the Holy Spirit convey this to you in a real way that it should be. If Ishmael and Isaac could not be heir together because of the original plan of God was substituted in a permissive plan of God, a permissive way that God did bless, neither can a spiritual church today be heir with the denominational. The denominationals, God blessed them like he did Ishmael. But the spiritual will not be heir with the others. That's right. There will be coming out of the church, denomination church, church so-called, church natural, will come a bride of Christ, the elect. Again, and this is in the same message, just further on down, Brother Branham says, well, I take that back. The one was in preaching Los Angeles. This one here was the same message, seed not air with the shuck, but it was preaching Jeffersonville. He says, neither can the natural be heir with the spiritual. No more can Ishmael's children be heir with Isaac's children. No more than the carnal can be heir with the spiritual. Church natural, church spiritual. There's a church natural that these women here type. There's a church spiritual also. So the natural church and the spiritual church cannot be heirs together. They're two different, separate times, two different separate people under two different separate covenants. Don't look down on them. They're under another covenant. The bondswoman's children cannot be heir with the free woman's children because they are two different categories. And that is true. The unbeliever cannot be heir with the believer. There's no way at all. That's where the trouble is today. You can't take a denominational chicken, believe with an eagle. You can't, just can't do it. There's where the trouble comes. You got to believe every word of God. You're not heirs together. Neither will you join with it. You cannot do it. You've got to be an eagle or a chicken. Here, Brother Branham talking about this and about the foolish virgin and the wise virgin and so on. He ties it in with a little story that he often told. He said, now there, what troubles me in this hour is knowing that we see all these denominations pulling into this, what we know to be what you call the latter rain or the pouring out of the Spirit. Do you realize that Jesus said that when that come to pass, it would be the end? When the foolish virgin and the wise virgin was not heirs together. The foolish virgin, she was a virgin, just lacking oil. But when she come to buy oil, it was at the time the bridegroom came. And she was left out while she was trying to buy oil. You understand? I want that to soak in real good, he said. Now neither can the spiritual and natural be heirs together. That's why the rapture, the bride, the wise virgin, the called out, the foreordained, the elect. Why you businessmen wouldn't run your office like some people tried to think God runs his program haphazard. God knew before the foundation of the world who would be saved, who would not be saved, who would be predestinated, and he by predestination, by foreknowledge, he saw every member, put every name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the church ever began. Jesus come to seek and save that which was on the book. He bought the book of redemption. It was lost. He redeemed us. And all names on that book was redeemed when he redeemed us. Then, as I've said many times, you recognize that's why you're here this morning, why you're coming out of all these organizations and things. There's something pulling you. As my little thought was about the eagle hatched under a hen, you realize there's something different. The church didn't have a satisfying something, but you heard something else that was a scream. You realize that you were born for that. You're a part of it. You fit in like a glove on a hand. And that's why we assembled together this morning, is because, as my old southern mammy used to say, birds of a feather flock together because you have things in common. Buzzards and doves has nothing in common. Their diet is different. Although a dove can be hatched under a buzzard, that's right, depends on what it is to begin with. Now, and in that thought, the dove might have to be mothered a while by the buzzard, but finally he'll find his mate. Now, sometimes people took quotes like that and they end up with two classes of people. Ones that believe like they do and everybody else who don't. But God's got different categories. Like I mentioned, who do you think's going to be out there on the eighth day when the new Jerusalem sets down, who do you think is going to be outside the city? There's got to be people outside. And those people, they'll be saved people. In a time of the new heaven and new earth, there won't be nobody that ain't saved. Everyone that is there will be saved. But God, just like Brother Branham gave this example many times. He said it's like making a dress. You take a piece of material, he said, and you put your pattern down there on it, and you cut out according to the pattern. He said, but the rest of that material they call the remnant. It was all the same material. It's just part of it was chosen to be part of that dress. And Brother Branham said, that's the way it is with the bride. The chosen, the elect. I believe this, friends. I believe that if we have the right attitude about these things, then we'd see how people we'd be able to reach. I tell you this, I respect somebody that goes to church and, you know, they are walking in all the faith that they have. And I'm not talking about in any church, there's those make-believers. Them ones that walk like they are good Baptist, but you know they ain't. I got relatives that claim to be Baptist, and I don't know if they've ever even darkened the church door. But just cause the Brownings back in before my grandfather, back in there, a lot of them were Baptists. And so I've got relatives, they claim, well, I'm Baptist, and they ain't never even been to a Baptist church. There's make-believers in every denomination, as well as there is people that sincerely are believing all of what they have has been open to them that they can see. I'm glad we're not like that. I've heard it before, used to, around the message, they'd look down their nose at anybody that didn't see it the way they saw it. There might still be some like that, but that ain't right. And that's why I wanted to read you that quote Brother Branham said about change in God's pocket. God's got pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters and half dollars and silver dollars. He said, but it's all in God's economy. He said, don't look down your nose at them just because they're a penny. That's all they can be. When I was a kid, I used to save up pennies when I was just real little. And my parents would get me these rolls from the bank where you'd roll your pennies and put them in them rolls, you know. And I'd save them up to like, you know, I'd be there counting out pennies and putting them in them rolls and stuff. And that's what, when I went saving up to buy something. And then I'd have, you know, whatever loose change that I had that didn't fit in them rolls. And one time, Mom and I were walking to the store, and I had my pockets full of these rolled pennies and loose change and all of it, and you could just hear me walk. And every dog in the neighborhood heard us too. And when I got up to the register to buy what I wanted to buy, and I started pulling out these rolls of pennies and putting them up on the register, and that lady just looked at me, but she had to take it. She had to take it because I had enough. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. And Lord, realizing, dear God, there's a purpose behind you. Any way you lead us in the scripture, anything that you lay on our hearts, Lord, to preach, Lord, and bring to the people, Lord, that there's a purpose behind it, Lord. And dear God, I believe that there's people that yet can be reached. I believe, Lord, there's got to be a last one somewhere that it'd be the last one that would come in somewhere around here, Lord. Whether it be Dixon or Nashville or wherever that these people, Lord, go, Lobelville and different places where they live, dear God. Lord, there's got to be a last one somewhere. Lord, it might not be the very last one, but it'll be the last one that comes in this church. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, that we would have the right attitude and the right spirit, Lord, not just the right doctrine, But Lord, that we'd have the right spirit about it, Lord, where we could present Christ to the people, Lord. And if somebody was hungering and thirsting for more revelation, Lord, they wouldn't be put off by our bad attitudes, Lord. We ask it, you bless your people now, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Sing, I will serve thee. Thank you. Thank you.